it is more than an inconvenience to have the runners coming around as a witness before the church. It's an act of inspiration. And this year particularly, I got to stand there a little while. I've got some friends who are running, former parishioners, even our own parishioners running by, and it's a beautiful witness. So yes, it is an inconvenience and a difficulty, obviously, for everyone to get here and leave this maze today, but it is an inspiration and good for all of those people for their wonderful hard work and their accomplishment that they get to celebrate today. But not all get to celebrate. A motivating disappointment. That was certainly the case for Bishop Carroll on this past Friday, as Capon showed up and won 42-0 in their house, not allowing Bishop Carroll to score even one point on their home turf, neither through the field goal posts or in the end zone. A disappointment. Now, there certainly does come a point at which these disappointments are no longer motivating, that tends towards despair, a point at which even the crowd quits to cheer because it's no longer exciting and sad. But that's the question that is faced in difficulty and in sadness. Do I let it tend towards despair, or do I allow it to be something that motivates me? A disappointing loss to Northern Illinois at the beginning of the season, do we learn something from it as a Notre Dame football team? Do we learn and do we grow? Do we hear this call to become something more? A motivating disappointment. We hear this clearly in the case of the heart of this young man whom the Lord confronts, to whom the Lord proposes something, this sadness in his heart. There's no doubt that this sadness at the very beginning even compelled him to begin this conversation. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? A recognition in his heart that something is lacking. And of course, that familiar sadness returns to him at the end. And we don't know the end of the story. We don't know the end of the story. But we do know that the heart does, like gravity, like a plumb bob, seek the Lord's grace. That's not our choice. We can choose to go against the grain of our heart, and many times we do through our sinfulness and attempts to satisfy ourselves in limited ways. But the heart knows its sadness way beyond and deeper than the mind. And so he asks the Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In our first reading, we hear this beautiful exploration of wisdom and what it is preferred. Wisdom is to be preferred more than scepter and throne, more than riches, more than health, more than comeliness or attractiveness, and more than light. Wisdom is preferable to all of these things. And there's clearly underneath the text this fragrance of joy being connected to wisdom. And in the person of Jesus Christ, wisdom made flesh. And this wisdom is the source of an incomparable and incomprehensible joy, a joy that makes everything else in our life organized and increasing. This wisdom made flesh has a clear answer to these things in wisdom that we hear about. Wisdom made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Does he prefer scepter and throne? Only the crown of thorns and the throne of the cross. Does he prefer riches? No. Only to have his purple, blood-stained robes stripped from him and laid at the wayside that he might stand bruised and naked upon the cross. Does he prefer health? No. Only the health that comes from his heart being torn open and holes in his hands and his feet. This is the health for which wisdom incarnate wishes to reveal to the world. Does he desire attractiveness or comeliness? No, for his semblance was marred far beyond the look of any man. Does he prefer light? No. The darkness of death, shutting his eyes in death and commending his spirit to the hands of his loving Father. This, my brothers and sisters, is the revolution of grace and the revolution into which we are invited. If we too but listen to our heart, listen to these movements of grace, the synergy of the Holy Spirit in all of its facets, yes, in our joys, in our celebrations, in our accomplishments, but also in our sadness and despair, recognizing that it's an imposition for us It's an inclination for us to reach out our hands to our loving God, to our good and loving God, and this mysterious wisdom that he wishes to reveal to us, a beautiful, mysterious, and hidden wisdom. This wisdom that the rich young man was clearly wrestling with and looking for, and because he had not acquired it, and because he had not preferred it to all things, this desire of his heart was not and cannot be satisfied on his own terms. Good teacher, what must I do? Oh, my poor young man, perhaps it's not you to do something, but me to do it for you. Perhaps it's not just your knowledge and comprehension of the law. Perhaps it's not you standing on the legs of your own accomplishments, your own virtue, your own understanding, what you have done, but a very undercutting of this framework altogether. This is the invasion of grace upon his life. And an invasion of grace that isn't just a promise of the future. This wisdom made flesh, which is preferred to all things, is by definition preferable to all things. Exquisite in all their delights are the works of the Lord. This, my brothers and sisters, is the vitality of the Christian life. It is joy. It is joy, and joy that overfills the heart. And not just the promise for a better day, but the fact that this joy is given 100 times more today. This is what the Christian has to offer, to smile in the face of darkness. Why? Because he doesn't sense it? Of course not. He senses it all the more keenly. But his joy is all the more sincere and radical. What, good teacher, must I do to inherit eternal life? Go, sell what you have and give to the poor. It's not just adding one thing to this list of commandments. And then come, follow me. Here we are, good teacher. Here we are, good Lord. Knock upon our hearts, inflame our sadness, inflame our joy. That we may turn to you and recognize as a little child receiving all things from the hand of our Father. All things. Blessings, challenges, difficulties, triumphs, disappointments, all of these things are an impetus for our hearts to move deeper and deeper into that health that you seek in this heart of your Son being torn open for us. Give us this joy, O Lord. May we taste it. May we taste it 100 times more now in this age as you have promised, and more than that, as you have given.